Brothers and sisters, once upon a time, a king of a country tasted a delicious dish. This is the best meal I've ever had. The chef must be greatly rewarded, he said. But when the chef came before the king, he declined the reward. Your Majesty, I do not deserve this reward. No matter how skilled I am, I could not have cooked such a dish without good vegetables. Please reward the greengrocer instead. So the greengrocer was summoned, but he too made another suggestion. I only sold the 5 vegetables provided by a farmer. The reward belongs to him. Then the king called for the farmer. What did the farmer say? I worked hard because I know that when I sow in spring, I can harvest in autumn. But no matter how hard I work, without the sunlight and rain given by God, I could not reap even a single leaf. The reward belongs to God. No matter how much a person labors, without God's grace, no fruit can be gained. However, people often forget to be thankful, even for the most precious things, when they enjoy them in abundance. Many of us also tend to forget God's grace, which He constantly bestows upon us. Though we have countless reasons to give thanks, so many that we couldn't possibly name them all. Some people only complain. I invite you to recall the reasons you have to give thanks. I pray that the grace and inspiration of God will continue to increase within you each day. During watching the Mommy magazine last week, I shed tears. She's in her 70s. She could not see with one of her eyes. She could only tell whether it was day or night. She couldn't see things clearly, even objects nearby. But the other eye was clear. So, and the doctor said that it was incurable. Even so, she was thankful that the other eye was clear. But after about a year, even the other ear began to blur, gradually become blurred. So she was caught by fear. She was afraid that she would become blind in her age. She was afraid that she would have to depend on her children. She didn't want to lay a burden on their children. She had various fear and anxiety. But when she came to this church, she remembered how she was healed by the shepherd. So she had faith. She also had trust in God's power. And that's why she was not discouraged. She prayed. She looked back on herself. And when the summer retreat came, she received prayer for and the other eye became, which had been blurred, became clear, and even the eye which had become blind, she began to see with it. And the doctor was very surprised, and I thought, what would have happened if she had met God? She would have just lived in fear and anxiety. She would have suffered a lot in her final years. So it must have been so shocked. But God healed her. So she is so happy. Watching that, I myself shed tears. So, do you also have reasons for thanksgiving watching others' testimonies? But what about you? When you watch those testimonies, you don't have doubts. Because, you know, we have many testimonies. We cannot lie. Of course, there could be. We don't recommend people that they exaggerate the healing. And so even this person said that she, one of her eyes became blind, but it began to see, and it began to see things. She didn't exaggerate. I mean, the other eye became perfectly clear, but the eye that had been blind became better. She honestly shared her healing testimony. We cannot have doubts. But just having no doubts and having inspiration and being moved and being thankful that God healed her and God, and believing that God could heal even our problems, we know that she didn't get discouraged. She prayed. She tried to discover two things to repent of and repented. And meanwhile, and she, and though when the Holy Spirit reminded her that she couldn't completely rely on Him, and she discovered that she had fear, and she repented of that, and she came to the retreat with a peaceful heart. So you should also have an awakening. You should also have an awakening with joy. Yes, this is why I haven't received the answer. If you have such an awakening, her testimony becomes yours, your own, and you have joy that you cannot get anywhere else. The one who healed her is our God, and you are filled with joy and happiness. This is how you should feel. But what about you? And what about in the morning service, we talk about zealously serving God and diligently and Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. This Thanksgiving have to overflow in your life. Unchanging Thanksgiving. Have you lost your Thanksgiving? If you have lost Thanksgiving, this is a problem. You have to recover that Thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, among many things for which we can give thanks, the greatest of all is the grace of salvation. The only begotten Son of the Creator God, Jesus Christ, came to this earth in flesh like ours. He personally experienced the suffering of man, poverty, hunger, fatigue, cold, and heat. He endured all kinds of scorn and affliction and ultimately died on the cross. He bore the curse and shed His blood to atone for our sins, my sins. If we truly believe in His love, how then should we live? We must also love God with all our life. We have to remember vividly His grace. Even if we have to suffer persecution, even if we serve faithfully, and we shouldn't feel upset. What about our Lord? He endured all kinds of suffering, persecution, even though He had no fault. He suffered because of our faults. With our Lord's, and we were saved by the Lord's love. So while serving God, we have to, even if we face hardships, we have to just go with gratitude. But because we become, but if we become discouraged and become lose the courage, we have to repent of this. It's because we seek recognition and compliment, it happened. But if we repent and as today's passage says, we have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. We have the grace of salvation. This is the first reason for Thanksgiving. Having received that grace, we have to eat the drink the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. In John chapter 6, verse 54, Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." After the sermon, we will have the Holy Communion in which we eat and drink the bread and wine representing the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. It is to remember the love of Jesus who died on the cross, giving all His flesh and blood. Only when we understand the spiritual meaning of the communion and act accordingly can we give eternal life. Our Lord instituted the Holy Communion. When He had the Last Supper with His disciples before the cross, He shared the bread and wine. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And He told His disciples to do that in honor of Him. So, Lord Himself instituted the Holy Communion. So, you may think it would be good to have this every week. But if we do it every week, it will become our habit. So, it may become meaningless. That's why we do that when we have a special season. We have a Holy Communion 3 times a year. And whenever we have this Holy Communion, we explain the meaning of the eating and the drinking of the Son of Man and flesh and blood of the Son of Man. So you know the meaning of them, but we repeatedly do that, repeatedly listen to that. But even while we listen to that meaning, are we truly living according to this message? We have to reflect on ourselves again. Even though we know the meaning, we only know it in our heads. We fail to live by it. So we have to examine ourselves once again, and we have to make efforts to eat and drink His flesh and blood. We shouldn't just habitually participate in the Holy Communion. As our Lord said, we have to drink and eat His flesh and blood spiritually. Only when we understand the spiritual meaning of the communion and act accordingly can we gain eternal life. Then, how can we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood? First, this should be done every week, every day in our life, in our Christian life. First, let us explore what it means to eat His flesh. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The Word was God." And John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that God, the Word, became flesh and came down to this earth, and He is Jesus Christ. God, for the purpose of the holy human cultivation, He divided Himself into the Trinity, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and each of them had their roles, and our Lord took on the flesh and came down to this earth. But His origin was God Himself, and God Himself took on the flesh and came to this earth. This is Jesus. Therefore, eating the flesh of the Son of Man means taking God's Word as our spiritual food. But taking God's Word as our spiritual food doesn't mean knowing it only in our head. It means letting the Word change our hearts and fill them with goodness and love. And to truly eat the flesh of the Son of Man, we have to drink His blood as well. We have to eat His flesh, which means diligently read the Bible and listen to a lot of words, listen to a lot of sermons, messages, recorded messages. Even during the week, we listen to them and also study the God's Word through books. This is diligently eating the flesh of man. But if we just have them in our head, it's not truly eating His flesh. We have to act by it. This is the truly eating His flesh. So, to properly eat His flesh, we have to make sure to drink His blood as well. This means that in addition to learning the word, we have to show deeds of obeying it. For example, when a person eats food, he also needs to take a water. If he keeps eating food without any water, the body cannot digest it properly. Water has to be supplied along with food for his body to eliminate waste and absorb new nutrients. In the same way, when we learn the truth, we must strive to practice it. Only then does the word of God we have learned become our life and strength. The untruth in our hearts are gradually removed and replaced by the truth. Jealousy, envy, and hatred are replaced by love. Pride is replaced by humility. How should this happen? When we drink His blood as well. Through the word, we know that we know what it means to hate. We know what hatred means. And through the whole gospel of holiness, when we are not happy, when others are complimented, even when we think about other shortcomings, when others are praised, we know that even this is hatred. So we realize that we have hatred, and this is the eating the flesh of the Son of Man. But we shouldn't stop there. In order to have life, so we have to drink His blood as well. We have to show deeds. We have to change hatred into love. Like, I was not happy when he was complimented. When my boss complimented her, I thought about his shortcomings. And I also gossiped about him, gossiped about her. When actually I talked about his shortcomings. Even when someone has shortcomings, he can receive compliment for his merit. That's why when another person compliments her, we have to. So that way, you discover that you have a hatred in you. So you have to hold on to that in prayer. How you drink His blood, you have to pray. You have to say to God, Father, I have such evil. I have such, even when she was praised, I gossiped about her. I talked about her shortcomings. Let me cast up such a heart. If you pray earnestly, and then you complimented her earnestly, even though you don't like her very much, you just compliment her and you treat her to some nice meal and treat her to a cup of coffee. That way you can form a good relationship. That way you plant love. When you plant love, hatred goes out. You need to positively demonstrate these. That way you eat the flesh and drink His blood. And then the sinful natures in you go away, and the goodness and love and truth gradually fill your heart. This is how you eat and drink His flesh and blood. In the second part, we will physically eat the bread and wine, but we have to also engrave the spiritual meaning in our heart. And when we go out, we have to live accordingly. We shouldn't just briefly have a ritual of eating and drinking His bread and wine. We have to show these from now on. You have to do according to the spiritual meaning of the Holy Communion. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we find that in order to have life in us, we should not only eat the flesh of the Son of Man, but drink His blood. It says, if we walk in the light as Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we should have fellowship with Father God. We have to also have intimacy. We have to become intimate. If we don't have intimacy, if there's no intimacy between child and parent, this is a problem. Because we are a sinner, we were separate from God. We were not able to be called God's children. But by the precious blood, the fellowship began, and God led us to, God called us His Son. That's why we have to live as His children. We have to develop intimacy. We have to say like, Father, I miss you. I want to see you. I need this. I need to throw it away. Please help me. You know, to have such love relationship with Him. And we have, we have to start with fellowship, and then we have to become His. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the condition is, if we walk in the light, the Lord cleanses us from all sin, and we become God's children, children of the light. Our status changes. And just because we believe in the Lord, even though we say that a lot of times we are saved, of course we are saved. We have our names written in the book of life. But if we again live in the darkness, what happens? We again become the son of darkness. The enemy devil says, even though you were saved, you again obey me. Obey me, the devil, enemy devil. God, that guy is obeying me again. So he is again my son. So the enemy devil acts like your father again. That's why we have to walk in the light. Here, walking in the light means living according to God's word, which is spiritual light. Jesus shed His precious blood to forgive the sin of all people. But make sure to keep this in mind. If we are to receive forgiveness through His blood, we must walk in the light. Because you come to church, because you have been Christian over 10 years, because you have title like senior deaconess or elders, because you are serving faithfully in the church, that means you are God's children. That means you are entering heaven. That's not always true. If you live in the sins and evil, if you are making friends with the world, if you are doing things that the Lord doesn't like, while you do things, you just serve faithfully while you... God does not see your deeds. God sees whether you have cast some sins and evil. If you have done so, God acknowledges you as His son. Does this mean that because we haven't cast up sin and evil, we are not His children? We have to admit our sins and evil and try to cast it off through prayer and make efforts and have an awakening and strive to obey. Then God will say, you are His. But there is a difference in the level of intimacy depending on how much we walk in the light. Brothers and sisters, you must truly realize what a great reason for thanksgiving it is that Jesus gave all His flesh and blood. How painful it is when a person gets a burn on even just one finger. He just, once you get a cut, it's painful. When you get a cut, But what about Jesus? He was nailed through his hands and feet, and he got flogged all over his body, and he was covered in blood, and he wore a crown of thorns on his head and shed his blood. How painful it must have been. You housewives, while cooking, you have your a little finger dipped in the boiling water. How painful that is. It's such painful. You get blisters and the pain endures for long. But what about suffering in the eternal punishment of hell? We were destined for the eternal punishment without our Lord. We were destined for that, to save you from that fire. Jesus, who was completely sinless, went through such terrible agony. How could we ever fully express our gratitude or repay such grace? He not only forgave our sins, but also gave us the grace to realize what sin and righteousness are, so that we can cast off sins and evil. No matter how hard a person tries, he cannot cast off sins on his own. But once God grants us His grace and power and the Holy Spirit helps, even the deep-rooted evil in our hearts can be removed. How great our Father God's love is. So He planned the human cultivation, and He sent His Son at a proper timing. And He also sent the Holy Spirit to us, so He didn't leave us alone like orphans. He, while, and our shepherd protected us through His intercession and love, so you relied on Him. This is good, according to the Bible. Like the people during the Exodus, they followed Moses' lead. Even though they committed wrong, they were not. Anyway, Moses brought down the God's works and brought down manna and quail. It is a blessing to meet a good shepherd. When you cannot do things on your own, you can ask for the God's servant and ask Him to intercede. So this is a lot of benefits. This is our shepherd. When to be with the Lord. But because we have a Holy Spirit helping us, in us, each one of you have the Holy Spirit in you. For the Holy Spirit to take control, you have to live. But now we have to do it on our own. Even because the Shepherd is now with us, we have to do things on our own. Of course, I can also intercede for you. I can help you. But the most important thing is to yourselves have to stand firm in faith. You have to strengthen your spiritual. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's why God sent us the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do things on our own. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the grace coming down from Father, and we have to make our own efforts. These four things, the shepherd did not say that you have to rely on me. He talked about the help from the Holy Spirit and grace from the Father. That's what he always taught. He didn't say, because if you love me, sins will be automatically cast off. He never said that. But this is so when people were healed, they were this was the shepherd role of the shepherd. The role of the shepherd is it was like a bridge between the God and His saints. The shepherd served as the bridge. So I am now also doing the role. Sometimes you are not close enough to God, so you meet the troubles in when I, so I am trying to help with intercession. And you can also have more, you can, this is the, our shepherd did that, and I also try to, and the other pastors are doing that role, casting off the sins. Nothing is impossible. You can do that. We can come into spirit and all spirit and we become qualified for New Jerusalem. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit, cast off sins and evil, and have your souls prosper, and you will have good health. We receive answers and lack in nothing. Some people, however, even after receiving such grace, fail to give thanks during times of trial. They say, my situation is too hard for me to be thankful. Some people, after being receiving healing, I will devote my life for the Lord if I get healed. But once they get healed, they forget about that grace. They should never do that. You should never do that. Some people say, my situation is too hard for me to be thankful. But God allows more reasons for thanksgiving to those who give heartfelt thanks to Him even in hardship. Let me share a story with you. There was a husband who lived a reckless life, constantly drunk. His wife prayed for him with tears and diligently shared the gospel with him. But he neither listened nor changed. One night, as she looked at her husband sleeping soundly after drinking, she felt upset. While she looked at her husband, she heaved a sigh and she was not happy. But suddenly, she remembered the words, in everything give thanks. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to her, remembering the word. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. At this point, she wisely followed the voice of the Holy Spirit. She thought, how can I give thanks in a situation like this? Still, she decided to look for reasons for thanksgiving one by one. She said, thank you, Lord, that my husband is still alive. I'm thankful that even when he's drunk, he somehow finds his way home safely. I'm thankful that he still stays with the family. I'm thankful that one day he will accept the Lord. Thank you that after accepting the Lord, he will become an elder and serve faithfully in your kingdom. At first, her words of thanks were forced, but as she kept confessing them, she gradually became truly thankful, and then she began to repent. She repented for her complaints and grumbling, for looking down on her husband in her heart, and for failing to serve him well. As she did, even her drunken husband, snoring with the smell of alcohol, began to look lovable to her. After a while, the husband woke up, thirsty, and found his wife smiling warmly at him. Startled, he asked, why are you looking at me like that? She replied, I'm thankful that you've stayed with someone as lacking as me. I'll do my best to serve you better. The husband was left speechless. A little while later, morning came. At the breakfast table, her husband stared at her for a while and then suddenly said, if it means that much to you, I will go to church. As the wife became truly thankful, God gave her an even greater reason to be thankful. Brothers and sisters, for those who have received the grace of salvation and call God Father, there's nothing in life for which we cannot give thanks. Especially you who are leading a life of faith and hearing the words of sanctification in this church, you have more reasons for gratitude than anyone. You are not just hoping for heaven, but running towards the best place in heaven, New Jerusalem. As you are always hearing spiritual messages and experiencing the works of the living God at this Spirit-filled church, your faith has grown stronger and stronger. Without knowing the way to sanctification, it's not never easy to enter New Jerusalem. About sin, even though we don't gossip, just because we just feel a little, even not being happy when others are complimented, this is hatred. We have to repent of even that. We have to discover things in detail. That's why, even though you have to walk the narrow way, once you obey and keep going, this is one of our reasons for Thanksgiving, then we will have overflow with His grace even more. As you're always hearing spiritual messages and experiencing the works of the living God at this Spirit-filled church, your faith has grown stronger and stronger. And even during the trial, God's works have been manifested without ceasing. Sometimes people judge and condemn and gossip, but God guarantees the church and His works are greatly being manifested. So how should you be confused? That should be so you should not waver. But if you sway and waver by people's words, sway by deceiving words, if you pay attention to these words, how stupid that is. You have to discern in the truth. That means you are not standing on the rock in the truth. You cannot, if you just listen to people, just put their own thoughts and feelings into His words. And when these people say just, but we have to see their fruit. Do they have fruit while speaking that way? But they are evaluating another person. So there's no reason for us to pay attention to them. This is just slandering and gossiping. You should have the ability to discern. And as you faithfully fulfill the mission given to this church in the end time, you will naturally share in the glory as well. You have such a great duty. We are not just focusing on just enjoying ourselves, but we are always praying for the national evangelism, world mission, and we are also focusing on building a sanctuary. We are devoting ourselves. We are sacrificing ourselves. That means we have to broaden our sight, broaden our heart vessel. Even though we have to sacrifice, but when we fulfill the mission given by God, we will be repaid with glory in heaven and rewards. Beyond these blessings we all share, how many personal reasons for thanksgiving each of you must have? Even amid diseases, accidents, or disasters, you can be thankful for good health and peace in your workplace or business. Amid many accidents, amid many disasters, you are protected. This is one of the thanksgiving. Even if you face trials for not walking in the truth, you can quickly realize your problem, repent, and change. Even if you suffer trials while walking in the truth, you believe that God will give you better things. God has given you precious duties, made your soul prosper, and allowed you to store up heavenly rewards. Whether the day is sunny, cloudy, or rainy, whatever the circumstance, you can only be thankful for our Lord. We are such blessed people. If you agree with me, you are so blessed. Last week, we had a filming for the Instagram we visited the prayer house. We wanted to put the autumn scenery in the video, and we wanted, but the uploading was a little bit delayed. We were a little late. The autumn leaves were not already. So, but we went around the prayer house. There were some autumn leaves remaining on the tree. So we filmed them and uploaded them on the Instagram. I think some of you may remember when there were wind, the leaves were falling in the wind. One of the videos showed leaves falling from the tree. This is God's, we have a testimony about that. In the prayer house, actually 10 days ago, it must have been reached, the color must have been most beautiful. We were a little, but years ago, I wanted to visit a place where we walked alongside a river. But along the river, the trees were without leaves. In the past, there were leaves, but now they had no leaf. So everything was cleaned up. Even the street was not. So I thought that I didn't have nothing to show to the members. But fortunately, there were some place. There was a lot of trees, and they were autumn leaves. And my secretary, she's from Australia. She doesn't have experience about the Korean autumn. She doesn't have our experience about our weather. I told her to enjoy our autumn. And while I talk with her, and when the tree is in full bloom, and she asked him a question, "Senior Pastor, when there," and she asked, "When the, it would be so beautiful when the leaves fall in the wind." And I never, and so and when we arrived at the scene and we saw there was a lot of tree, and we wanted to show them to our members, and we would pick up the camera and try the filming, and the wind started blowing, and with the wind, the leaves began to fall, and the sound of the leaves hitting the ground was so, it was kind of a new memory. We just talked about while walking, and we just talked about that while walking to that. There was no wind. But when we arrived at the scene, that scene was created. The leaves falling by the wind, the leaves were falling, and the wind hitting the tree, and the leaves were so beautiful. And during the minutes, and we filmed it several times, and we posted it on Instagram. And then after we did that, the wind stopped. And when we on our way back to the prayer house, we were very happy, and we wanted to show something interesting, something good. And
And
I actually don't. It was kind of a new memory for me. This is the love of Father God. You have, actually, for me, I don't have that experience a lot, like, but because I don't really walk around the street a lot, because I'm riding in a car, and because I don't have that experience a lot, but Father God, just as we talked, God created a scene with the wind and leaves falling, and so we were very happy, and when we were rehearsing for the palm praise, and we saw in the sky, and there was a beautiful rainbow, and we took pictures of them, and when we look at the sky, we feel God's love, and we feel God's love in the wind, and I hope you, Father, overflow with God's love and grace in your heart. God cherishes you. God considers you precious. He, to the point of giving His only begotten Son, even though you have shortcomings, He also gave you the Holy Spirit. Once we rely on Him, He strengthens you. But if we don't admit it, if we don't rely on it, that grace doesn't multiply. We admitting ourselves and finding and because Father God has a human nature, He delights in our such confession. When you do things and another person doesn't thankful, you are not happy. She doesn't even give you thanks, you are not happy. But if you take these things for granted, you don't want to do anything more to that person. So I hope you form a good relationship with Father God so that I also told you in the Sunday morning service, you have to be thankful that God has given you many things and give you grace and talents. Everything is by Father God's grace and favor. I hope you give thanks for that. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters, Psalm chapter 50 verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." May all of you remember God's boundless love, always offer confessions of thanks, and glorify Him. I pray that you will comfort the heart of our Father God, who has cultivated men with many tears, sorrow, and patience for all these years. May God, who delights in the fragrance of your thanksgiving, fill your lives with more blessings each day and lead you all the way to the New Jerusalem. In the name of our Lord, I pray.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.